We start things today looking at the start of college season. Classes have started, football has started, and the accumulation of student loan debt has started or continued, depending on what year a student happens to be in. The impression the student loan system creates is being user-friendly, offering the best and most fair cost for borrowers. Thanks to some predatory loan companies out there, that image has not always been true. Another image has been that the student borrower is protected against unfair treatment or excessive costs. That also is not always true, which is something our first guest today recently wrote about in an NJ.com op-ed. She is the financial justice advocate for New Jersey Citizen Action, Beverly Brown Ruja. How are you today, Beverly?
I'm good, thank you, Chris.
NJCitizenAction.org is where you can learn more about New Jersey Citizen Action. We've linked on our website directly to the column that Beverly wrote about, which hinges around the resignation of an individual named Seth Frotman. What was his role as far as student loans are concerned?
Seth ran the student loan ombudsman office for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And the work that they did was to provide students, first of all, with information and important recommendations for how they should get loans back that are safe and how they should navigate their loans. That's one of the key roles that that office plays. Additionally, they investigated a complaint from student loan borrowers about the way they were treated by their loan servicers. And in doing those investigations, they often uncovered instances where lenders were treating the borrowers unfairly, and in some cases, they were deceiving them or sort of abusing them as customers. And in the years that Mr. Frotman was in that office, he and his staff actually returned $750 million to students who were wronged by the loan servicers for things like steering them towards more expensive payment plans, for things like misapplied payments. There are many ways in which loan service companies have failed to care for their customers in a reasonable fashion. And the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has been very effective in uncovering some of these practices. Mr. Frotman became frustrated, as many of your listeners will have read, the current director of that department had been rolling back the work that the Bureau was doing to protect students, and in fact did eliminate the activities that Mr. Frotman was engaging in to enforce basically what were fair lending practices. And he became so frustrated that he eventually resigned.
And this was someone who, and as you said, too, the amount of money that he returned just in 2017 alone, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau saw a 77% increase in complaints just from New Jersey about student loan servicing sector. And that was just from one state. And when you look, too, what the dollars are thinking of, too, there's a million New Jerseyans carrying a combined $33.5 billion in student loan debt, which places New Jersey, I believe, 12th in the list of the top student loan debt states. California, to no surprise, is number one. And it goes down to Texas, Florida, New York, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, North Carolina, $38.2 million. And New Jersey, not too far behind that. So this is a lot of money. And when you compound the interest on top of the debt, if there is not a level playing field and open, fair access to alternatives to make things affordable and more cooperative for the borrower, you have a lot of people with a lot of problems.
That's exactly right. And the fallout from that debt, is far-reaching. Students who come out of school in New Jersey with that, I think owing an average of $30,000, are handicapped as they go into the world and begin their lives. Many can't afford to rent apartments. We all hear about students, young people going home to live with their parents. They're less likely to get married and start families. They're less likely to buy homes. And all of that has a significant impact on our economy overall. The other thing that people don't realize is that the student loan debt problem is not limited to young people coming out of college. It's also older people for many reasons. I'm a boomer. I Many of my friends went back to school and had to take out loans for graduate school. The older Americans over 50 are the fastest growing segment of the population with student debt. And that means everything from putting off retirement, not being able to save for retirement. If any of us in that age category fail to or default on our loans, our Social Security can be, checks can be taken from us. So the implications of the debt have, are far-reaching. This whole, I don't know if you've heard of the so-called, the houseless mortgage, where, you've got young people who should be thinking about buying a home actually are paying out as much as they would for a mortgage, but they have no home. So the impact of this debt is tremendous. It is the second largest form of debt in the country after mortgage debt. It's greater than credit card debt.
Beverly Brown Ruggio, who is the financial justice advocate for New Jersey Citizen Action, njcitizenaction.org is their website, listening to Issues and Ideas. Just give you a breakdown, too, on the student loan balance and the number of borrowers. There is almost 8.5 million with a student loan debt of between 25 and 50,000, 3.5 million between 50 and 75, 1.5 million, 75 to 100,000. And I'll do some fast math here. 1, 2, 7. There's about 2.4 million student loan borrowers with student loan debt of $100,000 or more. That's not a mortgage payment. That's buying a house outright in some parts of the country.
Right, it's a yacht or something. Yeah, definitely.
So I mean, there has been a defense against what was happening with the CFPB. It was called the New Jersey Student Loan Ombudsman Bill, which passed both chambers last year. It was a pocket veto by then Governor Christie. It's been reintroduced now. What are the chances now since there is a new occupant of the governor's office?
We at Citizen Action think the chances are good, but we're not going to take anything for granted, and we hope that people across New Jersey will urge their assembly members. The bill has passed, as you said, in the Senate in this session, and we are hoping that the assembly will move quickly to pass it. The bill would put in place safeguards. Most particularly, it would establish a licensing system so that the lenders that come into the state and manage loans for students here in New Jersey would have to adhere to strict standards and guidelines provided by the Department of Banking and Insurance. And in that way, those that are guilty of any kind of abuse could be, their licenses could be revoked or not renewed if the state decided to take enforcement action. And it would be a significant way to make sure that people are at least able to pay back their loans in the most practical and efficient manner.
Is there any concern that the federal government can, if this bill were to become law in the state, that the feds might come in and say, no, that's something the state can't do, that's a federal overseeing only situation?
The Department of Education has already stated that they have doubts about the ability for states to implement this kind of legislation. However, 30 attorneys general, including the Attorney General of New Jersey, have stated that they are confident they are fully within their jurisdiction to enforce or to implement this kind of regulation. The other thing is that the Department of Education and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau have essentially abdicated their responsibilities in protecting students from abuses by unscrupulous lenders. And so it's a bit hypocritical, or it's a bit inaccurate, I guess, to say, well, we're going to do it. We're not going to do anything, but you can't do anything either. So I'm not exactly sure where the law lies in this, but certainly 30 AGs across the country believe that the states are definitely within their rights to protect students in this way.
And if I understand the bill correctly, it's not necessarily micromanaging how a company does business. It's licensing the companies that are perceived as being legitimate to do business, and if they run afoul, then they have the license revoked and get the be shown the door.
Exactly. It's a common sense bill. It simply means that you can't come into the state of New Jersey. You need to be registered in the state of New Jersey to conduct the business that you're doing, and you need to adhere to some common sense basic consumer standards. And if you violate those other kinds of lender licensing. And so it's a mechanism that simply provides students here in New Jersey with some assurances that somebody's looking out for them. And it is, as you said, it's not, there's no regulation of the general structure of the business. It has to do with whether or not they're violating any consumer rights, whether they're violating the Consumer Fraud Act in any way, and whether or not they're simply doing business in a way that is acceptable to the people of New Jersey.
And again, the bill that passed in the Senate was S-1149. In the Assembly, it is A-455. If you go to the State House website, njledge.state.nj.us, you can look it up and also contact your member of the State Assembly through that website and give them a little nudge to just make everything fair and upfront as far as student loans and the industry, which is an industry, and they're in it for money, obviously, but price gouging is not a fair way to be doing business, and there are a variety of ways that some companies are out there indeed just doing that. Learn more as well about the work of New Jersey Citizen Action. Their website is njcitizenaction.org. We've been joined today by their financial justice advocate, Beverly Brown Ruja. Beverly, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much, Chris. Really appreciate your taking time to delve into this issue.